again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I want to bring you some thoughts around a piece of scripture that's found in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 19, and in particular verse 40, which reads like this: I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Let me read to you the context of this, because it's very important. The disciples had been sent to prepare for the Passover, and Jesus had sent them, and he had said, you will find a colt. This is the story, I pick it up in verse 29. Came to pass when they came nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they say, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, I want to say this to you. This is an interesting concept of the stones talking. You see, the people said, tell your disciples, tell those that follow you to be quiet. Now, there's some things that we ought to look at. The first thing we ought to look at is this, that the colt was one upon which nobody had ever sat. You can read this for yourself, and you can hear Jesus telling them that there was a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. This is verse 30. Loose that animal and bring him to me. If anybody asks you, why do you loose him? Say to them, the Lord hath need of him. Now let's look at this colt. How many of you listening to this program have messed with horses or with mules or whatever? And you tried to ride them. There was a boy in our congregation years ago, and he loved to ride the calves that had just grown up a little, and they were about 100, 150 pounds, and he loved to get on them and ride them round the corral. Well, of course, he got tossed by the calves all over the place. Later, he got a little bit bigger, and so when he got on one of these calves, his feet were on the ground at the same time. He didn't come to quite so much harm this way. But the calves didn't like him, and so they would wriggle and throw him around the corral. Then he tried it with young horses, and he really did get tossed all over the corral. But he didn't seem to care. He just kept getting back on, back on. He didn't know what he was doing, and he didn't try to do anything anyway. He just wanted to ride colts, and these colts were not broken, and he got tossed to the ground and tossed to the ground so many times. And we would find him often with his arm in a sling, his head bashed in, cuts and all sorts of things gone wrong, because he'd been tossed so far. Jesus said, bring me a colt upon which nobody has ever sat. This story was told to some cowboys by a visiting preacher one time. One of the cowboys couldn't hold his peace any longer because he was listening intently to the preacher, and he said, ah, what wonderful hands he must have had. I've ridden enough horses to know that my hand can damage a horse very badly, and I know that my hand can caress a horse into obedience just as easily as I can hit a horse. I don't hit horses, never have. I talk gently, and I'm very stern, but with my voice. And I have ridden and ridden and ridden lots of horses over the years. But how precious this Jesus is. He gets on this colt that has not been ridden. Now notice something else. This colt that has not been ridden is introduced to a crowd. I was on a horse once. He was introduced to a crowd. People asked me to ride in a parade in La Grande in eastern Oregon. And I rode. I didn't know the first thing about riding in a parade or anything else. In fact, somebody loaned me a hat so that I'd look like a cowboy. I got off to a great start. The horse knew more about jumping and careening through the crowds than I did, and I ended up in somebody's front yard. It was very embarrassing. A crowd can spook an animal badly, but this fellow did not spook because the Son of God, the Creator, the person that put life into this body of this colt, why, he was sitting upon him. Isn't that wonderful? And the people were throwing their clothes in front of this colt. It could spook him like everything. One day on the mountain, I was by myself and it started to rain, and I leaned back to the saddle and I took a slicker that I'd acquired and I put it on. I didn't have enough money to buy a good one, and this one was being thrown away. And so I leaned back in the saddle and released the slicker and started to put it on. And fortunately, I had very good balance in those days, and the horse took off when he saw me trying to slot my arms in the sleeves of this slicker. I wasn't going to get off the horse, but he didn't like me sitting there flapping things around. He took off, and I had a little difficulty. I was safe, and so was the horse, and once he settled down, we rode on. It's easy to spook an animal, but this animal didn't spook, because the Son of God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the one that created this little animal and gave him life, the Creator was upon him. We see some of these remarkable things, and when it came to the people that owned this little colt, why, they said, "What are you doing, taking our colt?" And the disciples said, "Well, we were told by Jesus to bring him to him, and so we're going to do that." And they said, "Okay, if it's for Jesus, that's fine." Notice how generous they were in giving a colt upon which never a man had ridden and was going to go into a parade. And they were very generous with that. Notice also that people spread their clothes in the way and people cried out. Now there's a lot of shouting going on. Most animals do not care to be confused with a lot of noise. In another parade, some friends of mine I was riding with, we were all riding together, but some other friends who were great sportsmen and they loved to pull pranks on people. After the parade, they were going past us with their little steam engine thing and they let off a whole load of steam when they got to us, to me in particular. My horse spooked all over the place. The sound of the steam, they had a little steam organ. And they started playing a tune on the organ. Boy, that horse, he just didn't know where to go. He went every which way but up. He just kept on dodging and twisting and turning. And I had quite a time sitting in that saddle for a few moments. Horses, animals, do not like to be spooked. They want quiet lives. And so Jesus rode this, and the people were crying out. Verse 38 says, if this Luke 19, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." We've just had Easter recently, and some people have been saying, "Rebuke these Christians for remembering Christ at Easter. We'll have spring break. We don't want anything like Easter." And I shout loudly as I possibly can. Easter will not leave us, for it's the remembrance of the suffering for sin. It's the remembrance most of all that Jesus rose from the dead. And how Satan hates to be reminded of those things is evident in the people who say we should not remember Easter. It's the same at Christmas. We must not call it Christmas. We must call it holiday. We must say it's the end of the year holiday. We must celebrate more on New Year's because it's so lovely and pagan. and we can drink ourselves into oblivion without any of that religious trash, as one man put it to me. My dear friends, that religious trash is remembering that the Son of God was born into this world to come into Easter time and to die for this world and to rise again from the dead. Have you ever thought of the terrific triumph that Jesus managed? He was dead. He was buried. He descended, according to the old Apostles' Creed, descended into hell. Peter puts it differently in the second chapter of his first epistle. He says Jesus went and preached to the spirits that were imprisoned. The gates of hell could not shut him out, and the gates of hell could not shut him in. Such power has Jesus. And Jesus rose from the dead. All that Satan could offer was death, and that was his great terrifying weapon. It still is. People hold us at gunpoint, and they pretend that they have power over us. They have no power. If you kill my body, I am released to go to be with Jesus. And I will be with Jesus so I can say with the Apostle Paul, O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? There's nothing. I have life after death. So anyway, I mustn't get off on that tangent, but I want to share that with you. Man and God can be reconciled. Satan has to be defeated. The Lord Jesus is glorified, and man is justified before God. Let me now share with you this 40th verse. The Pharisees have said, Master, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if they should hold their peace, if they should be quiet, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, if you've ever been climbing mountains, you realize that if the stones were to cry out up in the mountains, it would be a deafening cry. But Jesus was talking most likely of the cobblestones upon which the donkey was walking and he was riding on. And he was saying to them, don't you realize that praise will come? Stones are peculiar. And I would like to share with you three things about stones. If the stone spoke, it would be because they are the breaker. How Jesus took them from the quarry and made them fit for the temple. Remember that. The temple was of hewn stone. If you go to Jerusalem, you will find that you cannot put a credit card between stones that weigh over a ton. So perfectly are they cut, and so perfectly are they put together with no mortar. But these great stones, there's one stone in particular that was of the original temple that Solomon built, and it's reported to weigh over 4.5 tons. That's a lot of weight. Yet on every side, on the top, on the left, right, and bottom sides, you could not get a credit card between the stones that occupy the space around it. It's an interesting thing. I tried and I couldn't. Jesus recognized stones, and we can tell of the glorious breaker. Jesus is the breaker of great tonnage into stones. Jesus said in the Word of God, it is taught that Jesus is the cornerstone, the very chief cornerstone upon which the whole building leans and is framed together. You and I are part of the building of God. We are but tiny stones, I'm afraid, though sometimes because of our self-importance, we think ourselves to be much larger than we actually are. But the Lord Jesus makes sure that we understand that he is the cornerstone, and if we lean on him, he will not give way, but will give support. He will hold us in that tight union that cannot be dismantled by man. And if we cannot be dismantled by man, we most certainly cannot be dismantled by Satan. We are one with Jesus, and this fellowship or this union we have with Jesus is a wonderful building made not with hands, but by the Spirit of God. And we are one in Christ Jesus. We are alive in him. And if we don't take him as the stone, that we must lean upon, we will find that he will fall upon us and crush us. Eventually, that is the teaching of the Word of God. You see, Jesus is the glorious breaker. No heart is too hard for Jesus to break. No heart is too much for Jesus to comfort. You've not experienced anything until you have come to the Lord Jesus, this great stone of God, this rock of offense. You have not known anything until he has broken your heart with the hammer of his word, that he might build us into his temple, a living temple. Second thing I would like to say is that if the stones spoke, they would magnify their builder. Stones are cut so that they can be put into a building of some sort. Who polished, who fashioned them in the palace? But the Lord Jesus. And you are part of the building of God, our architect and builder, who has put us in the place, in the temple, is the living God. Now, if you'll understand this, God has taken a hold of you and I, and he is in the process of polishing us, of taking away the sharp edges. He is in the process of causing us to come closer to him, and he is in that place where we can lean upon him. If we don't, it's a terrifying thought that the stones will actually fall upon him who rejects this Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you to consider this carefully, because the architect of this new palace in which he lives is Jesus. The builder of all these stones is Jesus. And so the stones will cry out and bear witness against those people who think they can make buildings of their own. We have built skyscrapers in the history of this country, but before that, way back, there's a place where they built a large tower, and the tower was called Babel. We like to pronounce it Babel because we don't like to be reminded that God caused the people to lose their language, and it caused them to have various languages. And it was the starting of splitting people up so that they could not understand one another. And so it was called the Tower of Babel. That's what God said. But man has changed that to the Tower of Babel. It's a silly thing, but that's what we've done. And so we come to a place in our lives where we understand that we are a building in which Jesus lives. His life in us. A great life to be lived. We are buildings, and we are the palaces. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. I would take you to a third thing. If the stones spoke, they would have a long story of being used as a memorial. Different places, different times. Many have been piled up to be an Ebenezer. We get the word Ebenezer from the Hebrew, and it tells us that the stones are in place. They are stones of guidance, the stones of help, and the stones of a memorial. Joshua was told, God said, I want you to put a great big pile of stones in the middle of the river so that people will come. And when the children say, why are those stones sticking out of the middle of the river? People of Israel will say that's when God brought us over the river on dry land. Notice that, on dry land. Notice also, will you please, what a story would the stone rolled in front of the sepulchre tell? Rolled by God to reveal God. God rolled it back out of the way. This great stone that took several men to roll, it had to be round, it had to be disc in shape, it had to run in a gully, and it had to roll in front of where Jesus was lain. When he was dead, this stone was sealed and sealed by man. The seals were broken by God, and the stone was rolled back by God to reveal that his son could not be kept in a stone-cold tomb, but he was released because he was alive. We don't know exactly when Jesus rose from the dead, but we do know that he descended into the place of the spirits, and we do know that he preached to the spirits, We do know that there was a great gulf fixed between those that received him and those that did not receive him, and that gulf remains today. But the stone was rolled away so that men would understand the sepulchre was empty. Jesus was indeed risen from the dead. Now, the enemies of Jesus said he didn't really die on Calvary. Jesus didn't really suffer that much. My dear friends, he suffered the loss of God who was part of him. He suffered the loss of the presence of God. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you left me alone? Because at that moment, be it a short moment or a long moment, that moment of time as we measure time, God hid his face from Jesus because he bore in his body the sins of the world, and God could not look upon sin. Jesus became sin for us. He who knew no sin, he took upon him your sin, my sin, but man needed a sign, and God rolled away the stone. Stones are very hefty things to lift. You can go to places like North Wales and Northumbrian and Scotland in northern England and find how they protected their fields. They built dry stone walls. It must have taken a lot of time, but they took the stones that were scattered in the fields and they brought them to a central place and they built the wall that was the wall of demarcation. One side was your field, the other side was my field. And so they knew who owned what. These walls have been maintained for at least 1,000 years, but most likely for more than 2,000 years. In the northern parts of the British Isles. You can see them today. Hadrian's Wall, which was built just before Christ was born. Hadrian's Wall is reckoned to be the great thing to go and see, like the China Wall. It's not as splendid as the China Wall, but it's a remarkable wall. But it was to keep the heathens on the one side and the others on the other side. The people of knowledge on one side and the people of ignorance on the other side. And the reason for that was that the people of ignorance were reckoned to be stupid, and they weren't. They were people for whom Christ died. And the intelligent people wanted to keep them away, so they built this wall. Hadrian was a Roman, and he built that wall across Britain to separate the north from the south. It still stands, it's still there, and the ignorant are still saved by the blood and sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as on the intellectual side, on the other side, on the English side, the people there are still saved by that same blood and that same death and that same resurrection. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn one side of the wall. He came to save the world, that wherever we come from, north, south, east, and west, white, black, yellow, red, brown, whatever our colors, whatever our ethnic backgrounds, Jesus came as the rock of ages to hold us in the hollow of his hand and give us life. And that life is life eternal. So I tell you, said Jesus, that if these people would hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. They would have something to say. I would ask you to pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, as you built a new temple and came back from the dead, and now we are part of that temple, we thank you that you have put your Holy Ghost into the hearts of men and women, and we as saints know the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So help us, that we may be stones that are neatly put together, a household for God. In this world of rubble and rubbish, Lord, give us grace to understand your mercies are ever faithful and ever sure. bless us now. Make us spiritually prosperous, please. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless those of you that love him. Come close to him, those of you that don't. Learn of him, those of you that have never tried. The Lord be with you. Bye-bye. God bless.